Press TV headlines. The Brazilian president arrives in the Iranian capital for the G15 summit to discuss major issues facing the developing nations. Also ahead this hour, the U.S. oil spill disaster worsens as oil leaking from a BP well in the Gulf of Mexico washes ashore. And the former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi warns of a civil war following the country's general elections. It is 2100 GMT and 1:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News. Well, foreign ministers from the Group of 15 have met in the Iranian capital ahead of Monday's G15 summit in Tehran. The ministerial meeting was mainly focused on how to fight the global economic crisis. Iran's foreign minister, Manuchehr Motsaki, opened the meeting with a speech. He said G15 gatherings are aimed at liberating third world nations from the policies of the colonial powers. Brazil's President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has just arrived in Tehran to attend the G15 summit. Motsaki welcomed Lula and held a meeting with him upon his arrival. The Brazilian leader will join the presidents of Algeria, Senegal, Zimbabwe, Venezuela and Sri Lanka for talks on Monday. The G15 is made up of 17 countries from Asia, Africa and Latin America. But its name has remained the same despite the addition of two countries. Well, the foreign ministers of Senegal and Sri Lanka have commented on the outcome of the G15 ministerial meeting.
Some of the themes that were addressed, such as the importance of microcredit, water management, the whole question of energy security, the reform of the Bretton Woods institutions. Then there was also a preoccupation with matters concerning the environment. And it was a good forum to address some of these issues, and the discussions today were very fruitful and productive from that point of view.
In this meeting, we managed to reach a common understanding on the main issues facing the group of 15 member states and also agreed on the need to support the Palestinian people.
Well, earlier, our correspondent Gisu Misha Ahmadi talked to Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Ramin Mehman Parast. She asked him to tell us more about the agenda of the G15 summit.
This summit is being held at a very crucial time when member states are facing issues like the global financial crisis that none of these countries have had a role in bringing about. But all these countries have suffered as a result. We are going to discuss novel ideas to find solutions to this crisis. We think it's the injustice, discrimination, and a monopoly created by some countries that have triggered the financial crisis. We are also going to discuss energy security and environmental issues. We want the G15 member states to do their best to secure international access to clean and alternative energies. We will also discuss economic cooperation among us in three main regions of Latin America, Africa, and Asia.
Well, top Iranian officials have held talks with the visiting foreign ministers of the G15 group. The talks come on the sideline of the ministerial meeting in Tehran. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad told the foreign minister of Congo that Tehran supports his country's drive to maintain its sovereignty. Earlier, Iran's foreign minister Manuchehr Motsaki held separate meetings with some of his counterparts in Tehran for the G15 gathering. Brazilian Foreign Minister Celso Amorim, as well as the Senegalese counterpart Madike Niang, were among the ministers who met with Motsaki. On to some other news now. Efforts to contain the oil leak disaster in the Gulf of Mexico continue to fail. The U.S. Coast Guard says the oil slick has now washed ashore in two new locations.
The entire affair is beginning to sound very alarming. The discovery of two oil slicks in Whiskey Island, Louisiana, and Long Beach, Mississippi, is the last thing U.S. authorities would need. This could only mean utmost urgency is needed to control the spill. Alarm bells are also sounding over the sheer amount of oil pouring out of the well into the Gulf of Mexico. The rate of the leakage, experts say, is 10 times faster than the initially estimated 5,000 barrels a day. The findings suggest that the spill has already surpassed the 1989 Exxon Valdez accident, which was classed as the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history. But as the ecological emergency drags on, so does the blame game. The BP, Transocean and Halliburton, the companies that leased, owned and worked on the rig that brought about the disaster, continue to point the accusing finger at each other. To make matters worse, BP has now begun the age-old tactic of disputing the figures. The firm's executive vice president for the Americas says the estimated 50,000 to 70,000 barrels a day spillage is outside the realms of possibility. But U.S. President Barack Obama has blasted the three companies for trying to ditch responsibility. He has promised a review of compliance with environmental regulations. This after reports that authorities allowed BP and other firms to drill in the Gulf of Mexico without the required permits.
There's already major lawsuits being filed from people who have been adversely affected by this, and this is, this runs from the shrimpers, the oystermen, the crabbers, the fishermen whose livelihoods depend on seafood from the Gulf of Mexico to the tourist industry. Also, this has national implications because the major seafood wholesalers are now telling the restaurants they supply to around the United States that they can no longer guarantee the supply of shrimp.
At any rate, the slick has the potential to devastate a fragile and ecologically vital coastline in a region still struggling to recover from the devastating aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
On to news out of Iraq now, where former Prime Minister Iyad Allawi has warned of a civil war. He says a new wave of sectarianism is following the country's general elections in March. Allawi, whose party won most of the seats in parliament, has said he believes violence is going to peak in Iraq. This comes while former Saudi intelligence chief Turki al-Faisal accuses Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki of hijacking the elections. He said Maliki has denied the Iraqi people their right to elect a legitimate government. The allegations against Prime Minister Maliki come as he moves closer to clinching a deal with other Shia parties to form the country's next government. Maliki's bloc, the State of Law Coalition, has already formed a front with the Iraqi National Alliance led by Ammar al-Hakim. The two parties rather have almost half of the parliamentary seats. Zayed Al-Issa, an expert on Iraqi affairs, says the similarities between the remarks made by Iyad Allawi and the Saudi prince is no accident.
What Allawi is saying echoes what the prince has said, and they both are threatening with a civil war in Iraq. And I have to say that each time Allawi and some prominent figures of Iraqia have warned of civil war, there was violence on the streets of Iraq and there was bloodshed. Now, the prince has also warned of bloodshed on the streets of Iraq. And I have to say that's quite rich coming out of him when Saudi Arabia is responsible for most of the violence that is happening in Iraq.
The British top commander in Afghanistan says private security firms are responsible for rampant corruption and lawlessness in the country. He believes the firms are operating amid a, quote, culture of impunity.
Private security firms operating here in Afghanistan are increasingly coming under fire for their unregulated activities in the country. According to the Afghan Interior Ministry, there are about 52 foreign private security companies and about 40 Afghan ones. There are also many others that are not even known to the Afghan government. And this Britain's top commander in southern Afghanistan, Major General Nick Carter, blames these companies for a culture of impunity that is encouraging lawlessness and corruption. General Carter says most of these companies are not registered and they own unlicensed vehicles and weapons. But analysts say it is the presence of the US and NATO-led forces that have contributed to the emergence of these companies in Afghanistan.
I think the US and its allies are supporting these private security companies to hold their tight on Afghanistan.
Civilian casualties at NATO hands are the source of increasing friction between the Afghan government and NATO. There are also many other controversies surrounding private security firms in this war-torn country, and civilian deaths are one of them. Afghans blame the private guards for indiscriminate shooting at them when they go through their villages. Most of these accusations have been made in the southern parts of Afghanistan. And this has prompted the Afghan government to shut down those security companies that are accused of civilian deaths.
10 days ago, the guards of a private security company named Watan Risk Management shot one Afghan dead. The police have arrested them and now they are being interrogated.
The unregulated activities of private security companies are said to have also affected the US-led campaign, which it claims is not only to defeat the Taliban, but also to win the hearts and minds of the Afghans. These firms perform a variety of jobs, which include escorting NATO convoys, guarding embassies, protecting VIPs, and now reports say they are also contracted for battling the militants.
According to Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission, since the US-led invasion of Afghanistan in late 2001, more than 25 civilians have been killed by the guards of private security companies. Experts say unless there is a serious commitment from the Afghan government as well as NATO to regulate the activities of these firms, these fatalities will keep rising. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The Brazilian president arrives in the Iranian capital for the G15 summit to discuss major issues facing the developing nations. The U.S. oil spill disaster worsens as oil leaking from a BP well in the Gulf of Mexico washes ashore. And the former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi warns of a civil war following the country's general elections.